You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it like when Tatum play a Jalen on the breakaway, a Kyrie when he make a trade, and nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth that after you play it, you gotta repeat. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. And well wishes go to Gordon. Listen, after every game, it's very important, Millie.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics Podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your regular routine. We are now here for you about 3 days a week. We're scaling back on the Monday through Friday as things slow down, but we'll still be here for a few shows per week to keep you through the offseason. We're the Rain and Jays. I am John Corrales, joined tonight by Sam Jam Packard, and we want to thank especially Kyrie Irving for giving us all his content this week. With Monday show talking about Flat Earth. Today he had a news conference. Tuesday he had a news conference. So today, the Wednesday show, we're talking about his, you know, a bunch of things that he said. And then afterwards we'll talk a little bit about LeBron. And Jason Tatum put up a picture on Instagram that got him roasted by his teammates. So let's dive into Kyrie and the big takeaway out of this that everybody online is getting completely wrong is that Kyrie Irving is not going to sign an extension with the Celtics, which we all knew he wasn't going to sign an extension. But today he was asked and he said, quote, contractually or financially, it just wouldn't make any sense. And because all of a sudden he has a quote about it, people like New York Daily News are saying Kyrie refuses to sign an extension, leaves New York on the table.
Yeah, no, it's the headline business. It's the aggregation business that just turns like a quote where he clearly lays out financially, it doesn't make sense because I would lose a bunch of money if I signed an extension. Like, that's just the way the CBA works. Extensions were designed so you could like kind of get a raise within your current contract. But then the CBA went up or the cap went up a bunch and it kind of changed the parameters of the kind of the deals that people like Kyrie Irving were signed on when it was kind of the pre big cap raise. It just doesn't make like, it, you just look at it, it's like $30 million. What is it? Like $40 million? Like, of course he's not going to sign that. It's insane.
$80 million. So
what?
$80 million.
That's absurd.
Right. So for people who don't understand what the difference is, the extension allows the Celtics and Irving to take the contract as it stands now and extend it. So same contract, which means the raise after that year, that final year, is it goes up a percentage, like 15% of what his previous salary is. So, okay, fine. That's still a lot of money. But by declining his player option in a couple of years, they would enter into a completely new contract. And if he agrees to a maximum contract, then he is eligible for a percentage of the salary cap. So as that cap has gone up, that percentage of the salary cap is a significant amount of money. And it all works out to be about $80 million. So that's why you don't an extension.
Oh, sorry for interrupting, but do you know if he's like the 35% max or the 30% max? I think it's like 10 years of service, but I don't know her service line would fall for that.
I want to say it's the 30% max. I don't think it's the 35, but
still
I'm not
100%
sure.
Of money.
It's still a ton of money, a ton of money. And he can sign a 5-year deal, which would keep him with the Celtics even longer. So it doesn't make any sense financially. Like, even if he said, yes, today I want to spend the rest of my career with Boston, I'm going to make it unequivocally known I want to spend the rest of my career as a Celtic, he still would not have signed an extension. I'm sure the Celtics would love for him to sign an extension because that saves them a ton of money. But from a player perspective, $80 million. It's a lot of cash. It's a lot of cash. It's hitting. That's Powerball money. So why would?
And if you read all the rest of his quotes from his media session, he had like nothing but good things to say about being in Boston, the team that he was around, the excitement like surrounding getting Gordon Hayward back. Like, there's just no indication that he wants to leave. It seems like he had a pretty damn good first year, and because of injury, didn't get to go even see it through the playoffs. Like, he's clearly has a commitment to the Boston Celtics and has like nothing to good like but good things to say about Brad. This doesn't make any sense. Like, he may not re-sign at the end of his current contract, because who knows what's going to happen? It's the NBA. But it feels like just at this moment, he's pretty happy to be in Boston, and there's just like no other way to read into that situation.
Right. So it's next summer of July 2019, he will decline the final year of his contract unless something crazy happens, but he will decline the $21 million. And he will become an unrestricted free agent, which when that happens, that opens up the possibility that someone else will come in with some kind of deal or offer or situation that may be more appealing. That is entirely possible. I have significant doubts that it'll be the New York Knicks. I would expect the Celtics next summer to have the best possible situation for Kyrie Irving, and for him to sign a max contract that will pay him upwards of $30-something million, and he will continue on with Boston.
It just makes the most sense, because at the end of next year, they're either going to have won the title or have come short of competing for the title. And it's like human nature, it makes sense that you would go back with the team that you think has put you in the best position, and with the Celtics' current roster, like, they're in a position to win for the next, like, 5 years, clearly. And it just doesn't make – like, why would you go to the Knicks? It's a nonsense franchise with a terrible owner. Just, like, there's nothing – there's zero Kaizen at all with the Knicks.
No.
And it just – it doesn't really make sense. Like, it really feels like Kyrie's in an environment where, like, he enjoys the kind of approach of Brad Stevens. They seem to like Kyrie is very deferential in talking about Brad Stevens and how like smart he is and in pointing things out. I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense to me. Why go to the Knicks is the main point. There's no reason to go to the Knicks.
There's no reason to go to the Knicks, even if you're a Knick. So
don't report. That's what Kristaps Porzingis did. He just didn't come back for his exit interview. He didn't want to go to the Knicks either.
That's it. Just leave him alone. Just whatever. And that brings us to the redemption tour, which Kyrie said that's what next year is going to be, that it's going to be kind of a redemption. Because they talk about this with him and his future and everything. So he says flat out, my hope is that maybe we could limit it to one question a day about what I'm doing next year. That's my hope. But obviously, I can't really control that. I think you guys can feel my attitude is really just redemption next year, really integrating myself with our team again and really focusing on winning a championship. That's the only thing I'm worried about. Until I get to that point, then I can't really answer any questions. I'm pretty sure management and I will have a talk, but that won't happen now. So that's next year, redemption. It's him. It's Gordon. He's excited about Gordon Hayward. He's excited about Tatum and Brown, who he said you can see that those guys – are showing themselves to be stars for the long term. So he's very excited about next year. He's focused on next year. Obviously, he's got a lot of business interests, which we talked about on the Monday show with Soap on Deb. And sure, he's got a lot of things outside of basketball that he's interested in. But next year, when it comes to basketball, he's talking championship. He's talking about feeling good with players that he likes, getting excited about playing with these guys again. And that, I think, the biggest focus is coming back and talking about a championship, legitimately talking about a championship. That's first and foremost on his mind.
Think about how shitty it was for Kyrie having to watch probably the Eastern Conference Finals, knowing, like, if I was only, like, here right now, we could totally beat the Cavs. Like, we could take down LeBron, my former teammate. We could go to the finals. We would have, like, I don't know if they would win, but they would have it would be competitive because Kyrie's insane. Just like having to watch that, of course he wants redemption. And I love that you mentioned that, like, yeah, they're talking about a championship now. They have championship expectations. Bringing, like, the way – when you finish in the Eastern Conference Finals and bring back two All-Stars like Kyrie and Gordon Hayward, they have to be the, like, favorites to win the East next year. And so I like that the Celtics recognize that. I mean, talking to Brad Stevens, you would say, like, you would hear, like, the goal is the championship every year, and that's what we're building towards. But, you know, like, internal expectations, they don't, like, didn't probably expect to beat the Warriors this year, didn't expect to beat them last year. They have realistic expectations, but next year they have legitimate, I think, championship expectations. And so the fact that Kyrie's talking about that in June, I think, is a good sign, because it shows that he's on the same level as me, which is always a good sign.
That's it. When you're on the same level as Jan Packard, you're in a good place.
You're thinking straight. You're thinking correct. You're seeing things clearly.
Yep. You're focused on process over results, although he's also focused on the results, I suppose. Never mind. So I'll read this directly from Jay King on The Athletic.
The kid.
Exactly. The kid writing
he's
on The Athletic. It's just all his buzzwords. It should just be a Jay King buzzword episode. But on The Athletic, this is the paragraph he wrote about Hayward. Mentioning Hayward's upcoming return, Irving broke out in a big smile. The five-time All-Star has said he thinks, quote, all the time about how Hayward will impact the Celtics lineup possibilities. The obvious takeaway from that declaration, like everyone else in Boston, Irving is eager to see the full potential of this Celtics team, which is perfect because that was that news conference last year was the it's about to get crazy, G. And that little like gift that them turning to each other and like looking at each other's eyes and like that right there is still unrealized just basketball greatness. So he's excited. I'm excited about what this team is going to be. And that brings us to the next topic, the third big topic out of this, the LeBron thing, which he was asked about, and you know he kind of played coy about whether the Celtics were making him uncomfortable and everything. So he says Irving said the Celtics put things at ease when rumors arise. He heard the LeBron rumors coming up. And he says, in this business, I've kind of experienced it all. I've seen a lot. So we'll see what management does. And that was the end of it. We've talked about it on this show. You've talked about it with Jay. I've talked about it with Jay. I've talked about it with you. Do not expect it. I don't see when we've just talked about Gordon Hayward and these other guys, the guys that are making Irving kind of glow and smile and feel great about what's coming. To get rid of those guys to kind of blow up this team right now, I know it's LeBron. Like, I know how stupid some of you might think I sound if you're a first-time listener and you're coming, especially from a non-Celtics perspective. You're like, you're stupid. You go for LeBron when you can get LeBron. But not with this team. Not with this team. Not with Hayward. Not with Kyrie. Like, I really feel like they can be on a championship pace without having to add LeBron. They can get to the finals without having to add LeBron.
Yeah, I agree. They don't need to add LeBron, and it would be a super dick move to Gordon Hayward, because like the only way it really works out is if you trade them directly for each other. I just can't see the Celtics doing that, but it's just – I agree with you that like they have – I don't think they need LeBron. Sure, you'd like to have LeBron, this is going to totally come back to bite me in the ass, right? It's going to be aggregated with just the thing is like Jan Packard says he doesn't want LeBron and Celtics. No, I do. He's quite good. But I agree you don't have to like mess up your entire chemistry. And I just don't think it's going to happen. Like there's like Stephen A. Smith said something and then we all got caught up in it. But like you haven't heard anything since then. The recent rumor I heard was that Bronny Jr. Signed up to be in high school in Los Angeles and he's going to the Lakers. And that's what I think is going to happen, and that's actually what I want to have happen.
Yes.
Which is crazy talk to some Celtics fans maybe of saying, like, you don't want the Lakers to be good. No, I think that, like, I was really trying to think of, like, what destination would be for the most interesting NBA. And the Lakers, assuming Paul George also goes there, and the Warriors and the Rockets in the West, that's just entertaining. And then he's out of the East, and you're basically one less then you just have to basically beat the Bucks and the Sixers, and you're in the finals. And I think the Celtics coming back with Kyrie and Hayward should be able to do that easily. Like, LeBron on the Lakers just makes the most sense to me. Plus, if the Lakers were good again, Lakers-Celtics becomes that much more interesting. Like, you can have Christmas Day games. I don't know. It's good when the Lakers are good.
Of course, the rivalry, you kind of want both teams to be good at the same time. It sucks when either the Lakers or the Celtics are good and the other one isn't, because you don't have that potential for another Celtics-Lakers, which I want all the time. I'm on board. On Sunday morning when I was writing the morning dump on Red's Army, it hit me. It's the exact same thing that hit you. It's the same exact I want LeBron to go to the Lakers. LeBron on the Celtics would be fine. I would be happy with LeBron on the Celtics. I really would. I know people, there are Celtics fans who are listening right now who want to shoot me because I'm saying that, and they hate LeBron so much. But whatever.
The hate that's going to combine. The Laker hate, yes. The LeBron hate comes into one. Then you got all these Kobe stands over here trying to insert that into like the conversation.
Oh,
every
so
time
good.
LeBron fails, they'd be like, oh my God, Mamba mentality. Mamba would have made that shot. It would be like Twitter would go crazy. It would be the best story for the NBA. I think I'm fully in. LeBron to the Lakers. Sign me up.
I think from a Boston perspective, that has the highest potential for awesomeness, because, like you said, Lakers would be good. It could throw that team in disarray. I love the point about the Kobe stands, because it's always been Kobe versus LeBron, and now you have LeBron on the team, and the Kobe stands are going to be like, what do I do now? What do I do now? Who do I – what? And just the heads explode like scanners style. The Lakers being good out west – would be great, because the Warriors are already obviously good. The Rockets will stay good because I'm pretty confident in them running everything back. So what a gauntlet for those three teams to rush through. And there are other really good teams out west. They will beat the shit out of each other. That getting to the finals will be just the most vicious gauntlet. Meanwhile, the Celtics will have to get past the Sixers, who will still be good, the Raptors, who will still be good, but the Celtics would, I believe, in this scenario, be the favorites if LeBron and Paul George do not go to the Sixers. If you can get LeBron and the Lakers against Boston in the final, you beat the Lakers and LeBron in one fell swoop. Oh.
It'd be magnificent.
Oh, my God.
It'd be so good.
Oh, I want that so bad. I want that so bad right now. That would be so awesome. Like, that would be my best case scenario. Lakers getting to the finals against the Celtics with LeBron, with Paul George, Celtics beating them in six, celebrating on their home court, in the Garden, watching LeBron skulk off in that purple and gold. Oh, boy.
Oh, that'd be great. Oh. Here's the crazy thing about the Lakers. So the Lakers can add those two guys, but then they still have young players and a Luol Deng contract to get off. Hypothetically, they could go after like a higher salary person and make it like another big three around Paul George and LeBron James. I don't know who that player is. There's no one immediately comes to mind. You think maybe a point guard, or you think maybe a big man, but the Lakers still have some options even after just using their max cap space.
Yeah. They'll have to do things like Julius Randle. They'll have to figure that out. They do have a ton of space. They definitely have a ton of space.
But they could try Lonzo and Kuzma for whoever. Like, there's no reason to stay attached to those guys. Like, if you're going to bring in LeBron and Paul George. And there's very much rumors that LeBron doesn't like Lonzo, which I'm all for.
That would be awesome.
That's good old-fashioned drama.
That would be great. Although, I mean, I think, well, the thing with Lonzo is that he's just not a good shooter, obviously, and you need the shooting. So, but his passing, I think, would work alongside LeBron. You wouldn't have to have LeBron being the main facilitator, so he could play off ball more, but teams would just be able to help off Lonzo a lot. Julius Randle, I think, would be a candidate to then be re-signed in that situation, but he's not really stretching the floor. So I don't know. They could turn that around, but then they would have a lot of trouble filling the bench. They'd be a top-heavy big three team, but they would really not have a ton of bench help, which would hurt them against the Warriors, because the Warriors do have bench help. And so, and I still think they would have a better starting five. So, hey, look, I'm I'm all for whatever, anything maximum drama over there that causes the Lakers to maybe have to blow it up and get rid of promising young guys. We'll see. So I'm on board. Count me in. Okay, let's finish off on a fun note. Jason Tatum posted a picture on Instagram, and just like anything else that happens on Instagram, it's, you know, fodder for comments. And so today it was shirtless Jason Tatum, and Shane Larkin swooped in almost immediately with the comment, "Weight room? ?
It's a very it's a great roast, because Jason Tatum does look thin as hell. He's gaunt. Gaunt, I say.
He is thin.
And yeah, he needs to hit the weight room. And it was kind of shocking to see how thin he was, but I'm glad it's been fun following the Celtics as they embrace social media more in the off season. They're doing a little bit more traveling, the Instagram stories, the Snapchats. It's been fun, and I expect to see them roast each other for all of summer. Whose Snapchat or whose social media are you most interested in seeing this summer? That's my question for you.
I'm going to say Jaylen Brown. He could show up anywhere in the world. It just could be anywhere. He could be in, like, you know, Nepal one day. You're like, oh, okay, there he is. He's, you know, he could be inside some Buddhist temple. Who knows? And then next, you know, he's working out with Jimmy Butler, and he just could be anywhere in the world at any time. And that will just end up being highly memeable. It's going to be a ton of pictures that end up in that like four picture set that people love to tweet out. I think it's going to be perfect.
Well, that's how we got Desert Jaylen from last year. A lot of cool picks, a lot of cool sunglass picks from Jaylen, which is part of his signature look. So you're right. I wasn't even thinking from the meme perspective, but Jaylen offseason. No,
I thought you just live life from the meme perspective.
I thought I did. I don't. Who knows? The meme thing is very new to me. I've just finally caught on this season. But Tito, I think, is going to create a lot of memes. But you know where he's going to be. He's going to be in Miami, or he's going to be in Cleveland. But I am looking forward to him being on a podcast to hear what he has to say. But in terms of social media, I think it's obvious everyone wants to know what Brad Stevens is doing all summer. I think I just wish he would post more Snapchat stories of just him watching film, going to other people's basketball practices, talking basketball with other guys. It would be fascinating. That's just me. But maybe that's weird.
He could be the same post over and over again, just him on a basketball court talking to somebody, gesturing
but
maybe.
Think of how much you would learn from all those videos. It would be such a good instructional tape.
It'd be like following the Encyclopedia Britannica on Instagram. I'd watch every second.
I'd watch every second of Brad Stevens' Instagram story.
Absolutely. Look, I mean, I'm the type of basketball nerd that would just be like all over it. Like, I could just sit there and watch him break down film for hours, like a little kid, like a teenage girl watching like a Justin Bieber or whatever the current version of Justin Bieber is.
I think it's still Justin Bieber, but
I don't know. I'm so out of touch.
Is One Direction still a thing?
I don't think that's still a thing. There's
who knows? Who knows what the youth are doing?
I don't know the youth today. I saw some promo for some MTV thing, and they listed like 10 people. I had no clue who anybody was. They're like the 10 hottest stars of the day, and I'm like, who are these people? And so that's it. I'm officially done with that. My Spotify daily mixes are all like 70s funk and like nothing beyond like 1993 rap. It's, you know, except for me.
I got a lot of Hall & Oates. I got a lot of Hall & Oates all over across my daily mixes.
That's embarrassing. Actually,
what are you talking about? Hall & Oates rock, man.
Mm-hmm.
One time in Boston, I went to a Hall & Oates concert. I was like 17 years old, and I showed up, and I didn't know that it was a Christmas tour. So for the first half, they just played all Christmas music, and it was the worst concert I've ever been to.
Oh.
And I was very upset. They came back with the hits in the second half of the show after the intermission. Oh my God, that was a brutal, brutal concert I went to. And I'm not afraid to admit that I'm a big Hall & Oates fan, because they go, man. They're funky.
Yeah, all right, okay. Some of it's good, some of it's fine. The best concert I've been to was the one a couple of weeks ago, the Yo! MTV Raps 30th anniversary concert. That was like the best thing ever, because you get like three songs from all the classics, you know, like Eric B. and Rakim got back together to close the show. The Beatnuts were there. The only thing was Public Enemy couldn't make it, so it was basically Flavor Flav and Terminator X with no Chuck D., which is they just did.
Chuck D feels pretty important to that equation.
Yeah, yeah. They just did 911 as a joke and Can't Do Nothing For You, Man, and that was like it. And then
Flavor How big Flav's, was the clock on Flavor Flav's neck?
He didn't actually wear a clock.
Oh, that's disappointing.
That's disappointing, yeah, yeah, yeah. So, well, that was today's version of John's fucking old.
I like it. It's good. That's perfect summer junk. We're in the summer. We got to end the show with some nonsense stuff.
Nonsense, totally. But hey, whatever. All right, so thanks to you, whatever age you are, for listening. You can make fun of me for my old assness, whatever. That's fine. I can accept it. So whatever. We'll be back for a Friday show. I guess we're going to go Monday, Wednesday, Friday for a little bit until the draft or Summer League. We're all going to Vegas, so we'll have extended Summer League coverage there, and you'll definitely want to get the summer junk from Summer League. That's going to be where the real shit happens. So make sure you subscribe to the podcast for that, if nothing else. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Search for Locked On Celtics. It's everywhere. It's even on Spotify. It's wherever you get podcasts. If you are already a subscriber, hit us with that 5-star rating. Give us a good review and share the podcast. Spread the word. Tell people they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast.